Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where Senior Pastor Robert L. Fry has a great message from God's holy word. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God, where our motto is, a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, contact the office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Fry share a message inspired by God.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethany at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied with a colt. With her, loose them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, and it's out of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, tell the daughters of Zion, behold, the king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of the donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt and their cloak and laid their clothes on them and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches of trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitude who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna, the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you give me this message. I pray that you deliver it to your people. I pray that you strengthen us, strengthen your words, strengthen our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus was living during unique times. Matter of fact, I wonder why he didn't speak out on certain subjects more than what he did. He was living in a time when Israel was occupied by the Roman Empire. Being occupied by the Roman Empire, they had to pay taxes to Rome. Matter of fact, all of the prophets that they came up with went to Rome. And Rome was building this big city. And they needed more money, they needed more labor, so they went as far as they could possibly go in order to find that. And they had great armies, so they just took what they needed. Now in Israel, there was another group that were in leadership besides the Romans. And those were the ones that had sold out to the Romans. Herod was the governor of Israel. It was his job to make sure that Israel and Rome got along well. In other words, folks, we're occupied. We need to understand that. We're not going to try to lead any army. We don't have an army that can go up against the Roman Empire. So we need to get along, and you need to pay your taxes. Then you had another group, and they were the religious leaders. And we don't bow down to the governor, and we don't bow down to the Roman Empire. We have our own little thing going on here. And as long as we can be your leaders, everything's okay. And we have Jesus. As he was preaching and he was teaching and he was giving forth the truth of what the gospel and the kingdom of God was, because he said, my kingdom is not of this world, it's in the hearts of men. So he said, I'm not worrying about taking out the Roman Empire or the Jewish governor. He said, what I am concerned about is you. Isn't that amazing? I'm concerned about you. Personally, I'm concerned about you, just you. And if you get it, you can't unget it. And what I mean is, once you see the door and once you see the light, you know you've seen it. Then you have to deal with it. And dealing with Jesus was an exception or a rejection. So we have all these things coming together and all these people coming together on this day, a week before he raises from the dead. 6 days before they hang him on the cross. And we see him coming down into the Mount of Olives. That's where he went to pray. Across the Kidron Valley, across the cemetery, from the Eastern Gate. And Jesus knew it wouldn't be but a day or two that he would be back there praying again. And he'd be betrayed. And he said, we're going into town and we've got some things that we need to do. The first thing he knew needed to be done was the fulfilling of the Scripture. Because he was God, he had wrote the Scripture, he knew what the Scripture was, and he was going to come into town riding on this donkey. And he says, don't worry about whether they don't want to give it up or not, they'll give it up. Because I will speak to them before you ever get there and ask. I know their hearts, and I know where it's going to be. All you need to do is follow me and listen to me. And if you do what I say, don't worry, it's all going to be all right. So they went into town. Sure enough, they found a man there, and he had a donkey, and they said, the Lord has need of it. And they said, take the donkey. Now we find Jesus, as we do on every Palm Sunday, coming into town, laying palm leaves down in front of him, laying their clothes down in front of him. Why? Because here he is. He is the king in their mind. I wonder if the Jews thought, as Judas thought, he is the one that is going to take us and make us independent from the Roman Empire. We like him. He's the one that's going to do away with all poverty. He's the one that's going to change the world. He's the one. He's the one that we want for the reasons we want him. So they're all for him, or most of them, as he comes riding into town. But you know, palm leaves and coats and the donkey wasn't the only thing happened that day. And sometimes we just get hung up there and we don't go into what else was going on. Jesus went into the temple that day. And he upset the tables of the money changers and said, my house is to be a place of prayer, not a den, and you have made it a den of thieves. You know what he did when he, what happened when he did that? Here, let me tell you what the money changers were doing. They would not allow you to give money into the temple that was Roman money. You had to give Jewish money. They had their own financial system. Now these religious leaders, they figured out a way to make a big profit on that. So you come in and knowing that you were exchanging Roman money, in order to give in the offering, you had to have the Jewish money. And let's say it traded for a dollar for a dollar, a Roman coin for a Jewish coin. They said, we don't have to trade it for a dollar for a dollar. We can get $2 because they don't have any and we do. That's free enterprise, right? No, that's greed. So you give me two Roman coins and I'll give you one coin for in the offering. Now, Rome's happy because they're spending more of their money. That's two of theirs. The Jews are happy because they're keeping their money in circulation. And the church is happy because they're making a profit. Everybody's happy. So when Jesus walked into the temple and he upset the money changers' table, he upset everything that they knew that was, or they thought was right at that time. He upset every group of leaders that was there. After all, they had all went to the same school. All they knew was greed. Whether they were a Roman or a Jew or a religious leader. All they wanted was more power. They were just sitting in different seats. They were all operating from the same premise. And Jesus said, I'm going to change that premise in which you operate. So now he has a lot of people angry, a lot of people laying down their coats, a lot of people yelling, Hosanna in the highest. Now they want to start yelling, crucify him. But they didn't yell that yet. The Jewish religious leaders were upset because he had a following and it was a religious following and he shouldn't have that. We should have that. Then he was tested with a question. And have you ever had questions that you've been tested with? You ought to get questionnaires in the mail and see just how telling they are and how warped many of them are. And they'll ask you a question in order to try to catch you in a trap. And they said, should we pay taxes in Rome? Seeing that they had the religious group there, and of course the religious group was saying, we need to be independent of Rome, and we need to use this tax. After all, the temple says we need to use this coin. The temple didn't say they needed to use that coin because of the fact that it was they were defending their country. They wanted to use that coin so they could get twice as many of the Roman coins. It was a financial thing. It's a way of taking advantage of people and taking more of the people's money. And Jesus made this statement. He knew they weren't going to trap him, and he said, render unto Caesar. He said, whose picture's on it? He said, Caesar's. He said, then render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's and unto God that which is God's. Well, God didn't have a coin. Now what do we do? Jesus starts to teach as he comes into town with what he did, and everyone during that time knew what happened when he upset the money changer's table. He upset the Roman Empire. He upset the Jewish leadership. He upset the religious leaders when he turned the tables over. And he said, there's a new law, there's a new king in town. And everybody in the world, everyone that was taught under that system started saying, crucify him, because it's going to cost us something. Crucify him, because he's going to take our position, our jobs. He's going to take our wealth away. Crucify him. If you want to see one major reason why Jesus was crucified, it was about finances. That's why he said, just in the next chapter over, he said, what are the commandments? What's the greatest commandment? And he said, there are two. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the two. You can nail them down, you can live by them, and when you love the Lord your God with all your heart, nothing in the world will come between you and him, because then you can love your neighbor, and you won't take advantage of your neighbor. So he goes before Pilate, and Pilate said, they say, you are the king of the Jews. Is that true? And Jesus said, yes, I am truth. And let me tell you what happened here. Jesus goes in and he confronts everyone. Then Jesus says in a public arena that he is the truth. And when they saw that what he was speaking was truth, and he saw what he was speaking would get to the hearts of the people, they tried to, and they decided they were going to shut him up. So they cried out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate, he was already the boss. Didn't really want to. So he said, I'll release one to you, Barabbas or Jesus. And they started crying out, Barabbas, Barabbas, Barabbas. Jesus was showing them with their voices and with what they had to say, he was showing them his power and his strength. And Jesus said, I am the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. To know Jesus is to know the truth. And they took him out and they crucified him. No one likes being ridiculed. No one likes being put down. And I'll tell you something, crucifixion is the worst death that anyone could go through. And when he said it was finished, the religious leaders smiled. The Jewish leaders smiled. The Roman leaders smiled. And they said, he's dead. But let me tell you something about truth. You cannot kill it. You cannot crucify it. You cannot stop it from going on. You cannot subdue it. It will unite. It will bring people together. It will give strength to those who are oppressed, and it will lead those into righteousness, in the paths of righteousness. And Jesus' truth, when it walked out of the grave on that day, he was not only crucified, but the truth gave power to everyone throughout the entire world, and it has for 2,000 years. Yeah. Amen. You can clap. I don't care. Because it's the truth. It cannot be silenced. And sometimes we as Christians, not just sometimes, but every time we speak and we speak the truth, it will get in someone's face. But it will also get into someone's heart. And when it gets into their heart, you cannot change them. I thank the Lord that the light of the truth shined on my heart. And I've not only been able to see it and walk by that light, but I've seen that light light the way for others. And I've seen that light catch hold in others' lives, and I've seen it spread to others. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, and neither do you, but I do know this, that the truth will stand forever. We have a lot of people today in this world, just like they did back then, that are talking heads. They know exactly the plan for everything and how to make everything work out as long as it doesn't mess with their plan. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ messes with everyone's plan. Everyone's plan. And he'll mess with yours. And it'll be no longer your way, but his way. So when you think about Palm Sunday, the big thing wasn't that he walked in to town on a donkey and was praised, because that was false praise. The big thing was he went in and he threw the money changers out. And in doing that, he changed the world. You can change the world if you allow the kingdom of God to reign here. That kingdom first. Before anything else in the world, that kingdom first. Then you'll love God with all your heart and all your might and all your soul. And then you'll know what compassion is about. And you'll know how to love your neighbor as yourself. Let's stand. Our Heavenly Father, may truth take hold of our hearts. May we allow you not only to come into our hearts as praise, but may we allow you to upset the tables in our lives. May we allow you to answer the tough questions. May we allow you to lead our lives, many times in an unconventional way, in order that we might see Jesus. I pray today that light shine. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Robert L. Fry from Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. If you've enjoyed Pastor Fry's message today, we'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Just look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, contact the church office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. And this has been a Heritage Church of God audio outreach ministry.